All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks, do a local podcast. Good morning, May 23rd, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's awesome wherever you are at. Yeah, great day. It's going to Tuesday, big work day today. Thought I would jump in for a minute, see if we can sit down and share some thoughts. It is Tuesday. I went to the big meeting last night, big step meeting, and which I you know, I said this before, I'm really enjoying this continuous step meeting that I'm doing. It has become very helpful. You know, I shared a few weeks, a few podcasts ago, talking about sort of how sobriety is like putting together a puzzle. And, you know, I've been working on this puzzle for a long time. And every once in a while, you know, you'll walk by that puzzle and be like, shit, that piece goes right there. Like, I could not see that before, right? I was incapable of seeing where that piece went. And then all of a sudden, it's like clear as day. And that's sort of what, like, it's like getting sober, right? Getting to that place, hopefully heading towards serenity. I feel like there's this, for me, right? For me, is there some sort of secret, right? Do we know, is there more, right? Is there more? Because, you know, if I sit down and just listen, right, to everybody, I would think the message is, sober is the way, right? That's what we want to be, sober. I agree, right? That is what I want to be. With the day, I don't even know, honestly, I don't even know at some point during my drinking career if I ever made the effort to be sober, right? I've shared before, this program didn't get me sober. You know, all of a sudden, a change in my heart didn't get me sober. Getting punched in the face is what got me sober, right? And if I look up the definition of sober, the definition of sober is to be free of drink. Okay, right? We're there. Check that one off, right? But is there more, right? Is there more? It talks, you know, in this four step that we just sort of went through in the last couple of weeks, you know, it's, you know, if you were trying to rebuild a relationship, you know, if you were trying to get back a job, right? Or if you were just trying to just move past something, it would make sense to me that you would want to kind of go through a list, a moral inventory, right? If we're trying to figure out what our problem is, right? I said this last night, you know, I've done this, the four step, a few times, a few different ways. You know, I've come in and done the four step. I've shared in the past, you know, I'm a people pleaser. You know, I have bad behavior, I drink too much, right? I do drugs, I do all this crazy shit. But if you ask me to do something, damn it, I'm getting it done, right? Because it's my only hope, it's my only example of me, the true me hiding inside, right? It's the only glimmer of hope that I'm still in here, right? And if you give me a chore, I'm going to do it, you know? I remember when I was working on the golf course and I was still, you know, in my addiction and my boss is like, you know, I'm going to need you to water this golf course all night, right? And any sensible person, right? Any sensible person would have been like, nah, I don't think so. Actually, I shouldn't say that because it was more than just, you know, people pleasing to say yes to doing that job. There was also some adventure, right? There was also trying to be on a different level. We're always trying to be unique, right? And now I can mark off as the guy that watered the golf course all night, right? But at the same time, some people would be like, I don't think so, man. That is just too much. I want to get a good night's sleep. It's not that important to me, yada, yada, yada. But as a people pleaser, I say yes, right? And, you know, I sort of shared this in the meeting last night. When I came into this program, I came in as a broken down people pleaser. So when I sat down and started working these steps, because it was suggested to me, right? It was told to me, hey, you need to get a sponsor, right? Work these steps. And as the people pleaser that I was like, absolutely, stay on target, right? And so I remember working with my first sponsor, Mike R., and going through these steps and, you know, yes, you know, going through them, this is what I did, right? I just wanted to please, right? I wanted to make my sponsor happy. I wanted to make the sober gods happy, right? I just wanted to do anything that I could do to show that I'm still a decent person in here. But the problem I hadn't changed my perspective yet, right? I was still stuck in this addict, alcoholic, people-pleasing, low self-worth, right? All this bad stuff. And then I shift all that over one day into trying to work a program, right? Just the day before, right, I was drinking. Just the day before, I was in the depths of it, right? I was deep in the fight. And then all of a sudden, one day, I'm not, right? One day, I completely shift teams, and I'm like, okay. It's like being teleported, right? Shoom. And all of a sudden, you're in a different world. You're like, whoa. The problem is the same person went over, right? The same guy went over into the I'm going to try to get sober world. And the first thing I did, right, was not drink. The first thing I did was pat myself on the back, right? You're doing good. But the real problem right there, for me, was really just this victim-y, sentenced. I could not see the fucking trees through the forest if you pointed them out, right? I couldn't see the purpose or the point. All I knew was that somehow, for some reason, I had an opportunity to get sober, and I took it, and I was just holding on, right? So when I went, first time I went through these steps, it was a completely different guy, right? And it was a people pleaser, and it was about quantity, not quality. It was about, it was about quantity, right? I wanted to find everything that I did wrong, and I think it is important, but I was too focused on the quality. No, I was too focused on the quantity, excuse me. I was too focused on finding as many faults, moral defects, right? And not as much as I was trying to understand what role they played in my life, right? You know, it talks about it in the big book. You know, it's all those deadly sins. Sloth, pride, gluttony. I don't know what they all are, but, you know, it's basically all of those deadly sins. And you know, so once I went through this fourth step, it was just like, okay, yep, fifth step, let's do the fifth step, right? Because the people-pleasing guy that I was just wanted to get it done so that everybody would be proud of me, right? And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that happens a lot. If it doesn't and you get it right away, it's awesome. I did not, right? I did not. Because in the end, the problem is in the end, you know, we don't get the congratulations, right? We don't get the praise. And in the end, we don't see the trees through the forest. And in the end, we're just disappointed because as a typical people pleaser, we do the job, but usually we have expectations, right? And they're usually not met. And so usually we end up with resentments, right? What do you mean? Wasn't that the best fourth step you ever did, right? I don't know what people are so scared about. It was fine, right? And yada, yada. It's like completely opposite, right? I lived a life of too much yin and no yang, right? So it was all about me and no suffering. It was all about me getting what I want, but not giving back. And, you know, that would come out in that first round on the fourth step. But today, you know, as a person that's doing, I'm not really doing a fourth step. I'm more or less just kind of rereading the fourth step because I keep getting more and more. But now, like I said the other day, this step is really about closure. Sing it. Oh, Chris Cornell. Temple of the Dog. Fucking man, when that band came out, I was deep in my addiction. I can tell you that right now. Deep. So, unfortunately, the guy that he is singing about is dead. The guy singing is dead. And several other people that were involved in this group are dead because of drugs and alcohol. They did not reach down. It's just so sad, right? It's so sad. But yeah, today it's like the fourth step is really, oh man, it is just, it is, it's about closure for me, right? It's that moral inventory, right? Trying to figure out the shit that I'm capable of doing, the shit, the behavior that I've had in the past, and the behavior I currently have, right? I am not perfect. I am not perfect. But it really shines a light. And from step four to step nine is really about cleaning it up, recognizing, and some closure for me. This is what I've come to, right? This is the thing. You know, if you had just a simple example, let's say you've done something and you've done it over and over and your wife has decided to leave you, right? And you decide, you know, I'm going to maybe not leave you, right? Maybe she's mad, right? Maybe it doesn't have to be that dramatic, right? But maybe something happened in a morning series of events and you are now in the doghouse, right? And all of a sudden, you have got to plead your case. And that's sort of what this is for me. It's really trying to identify and then make amends, right? Honey, right? I did this. I am sorry, right? I did this. I am sorry. You know, the fourth step allows us to take it deeper, right? What was behind it, right? Ego, pride, gluttony, whatever it is, something was behind this move that we made that got ourselves in this position. And they don't always have to be bad, right? You know, ego can make us feel glorious and do dumb shit even in our good times. And so there's always something behind these decisions, but it at least allows us to identify them. So if they come up again, right, if this shit happens again, you're like, oh, man, look at what pride and ego were doing that day, right? Or you just have, you're like, welcome to the club, and you start meeting the members, right? You start meeting the secret handshake, and you start seeing where we get the secret coffee, and you start to understand some of how this is starting to work, right? You stop being the guy that's been sentenced here and start being the person that gets to be here, right? That gets to learn this stuff, that gets to benefit from this stuff because we're past the drinking. The drinking's over, right? I am not drinking. Doesn't mean I can't, right? Doesn't mean that if I don't work on this stuff, because this is the stuff we fix, right? This is the stuff we understand because this is the stuff that'll send us back to that drink. And so it's about the closure. You know, I sort of do four steps on a lot of different things, right? Different situations. You know, people come in. I've said this before. You know, I can be a little short, right? If someone's late or different things. And, you know, what's that about? That's pride. That's ego, right? That is all those things that I'm trying to avoid still come out in different ways, even though I am not drinking. And these are the things that I take a look at. You know, I said the other day, I had a lady that came in. I told her, she made a statement. I didn't understand it quite on the way she put it. I immediately thought it was an attack on me, right? What's that? Ego? Pride, I guess. Immediately, I became arrogant. I said something like, hey, if you're this upset and you think that you're going to tell me how to cut hair, you could probably go somewhere else, right? Because I want you to be happy, right? I don't want to take any of the blame, right? I want you to be happy. And she looks at me and she goes, I don't want to go anywhere else. And I was like, oh, there is that option, right? There is this option where I don't want to go anywhere else. And I'd rather you and I have a conversation and try to figure this out. She was right, right? And I said, and then more was revealed, right? The story became clearer and clearer, and I started to understand. Turns out I did not do the haircut that got her to this position. Mistakes were made in the conversation, but halfway through cutting her hair, I stopped and I said, you know what? I got to tell you something. I got to apologize to you. I shouldn't have said that to you. I shouldn't have said that you have to get your hair cut somebody else, but somewhere else. It wasn't cool. It's not me, right? As soon as it came out of my mouth, I felt bad about it, right? That's what this fourth step and the fifth step teach us, right? It's about a moral inventory, cleaning it up, moving on. Today, you know, that more or less falls under the 10th step, right? When I do something that doesn't set well, I can clean it up. what an amazing gift, right? But we didn't quite reach the 10 step yet. We're still on the 4 step. So understanding, why did I even say that, right? And I've always said, you know, I've always felt like as a hairdresser, I'm not quite good enough, right? Even though I'm fine. I do a great job. I've been doing it 16 years. No complaints, right? But inside, I'm just not good enough, right? And so if someone hints that I made a mistake, I immediately get defensive and I attack a little bit. And that's a character defect. You know, that's the shit cartoons are made out of. And I don't want to be a cartoon character. You know, there's also something about being an asshole and then apologizing, right? I can't get away with that either. That's not something I have, you know, if I'm going to admit anything right here, I will admit that since the pandemic, since we've been back to work, and I know it's been a few years, but I'm still trying to, I'm a different person, right? I shared this the other day. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older. It's just the way life is, you know, after this pandemic, but I am slightly different, right? I'm having to bite my tongue a little more, right? I've become, the whole process has become inconvenient to me. The whole world slightly got a little inconvenient, so I got a slightly arrogant, right? And so I'm sort of living in this slightly arrogant mode, and it's dangerous, right? Because, you know, you say shit like, you know, you got to get your hair cut somewhere else. And honestly, at the same time, like my buddy Jim says, we're not doormats, right? I'm not going to get walked on, right? People aren't going to just come in and say, and this happens, it happens sometimes. People will come in and say, oh, you know, I want my hair cut short. And I'm like, okay, how short? And they show me and we cut it. And then when they come back, whatever, they said, man, you cut my hair way too short. Ugh. For some reason, that really gets under my skin because I try to listen, right? I try to pay attention. I try to be not that guy that cut your hair too short and then to be accused of it. For some reason, I get like, I don't know. I can't figure that one out. It just bugs me. And this sort of fell into that situation. But the whole point was, is that I've been given this opportunity to say, hey, you know what? I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. And she's like, I'm sorry. I said what I said. And we hugged it out and we had a great conversation and a great haircut. And, you know, we'll live to fight another day, right? We'll meet again. But, you know, I could have said that. I could have went home with that. I could have laid on the couch with that. I could have laid in all for 6 weeks with that. And I don't like that, right? I don't want to feel like that. I don't like to feel that, right? I wish I hadn't even said it, but I did. But like I said, you know, I'm not a doormat. But yeah, so this is the you know, the end of the 4 step. That's what we did this week. It was great. I loved the meeting last night. You know, the guy that shared really, you know, he talked about, you know, these moments of being, you know, he's got a lot of time, right? This guy's got a lot of time, but he talks about these moments in his overall chunk of time where he was dry, right? And he talks about where he had, you know, gotten away from God. He stopped holding the hand of God. And I'm like, wow, right? Another puzzle piece, right? Is it that simple? Is it that simple, this relationship with God, right? I have only been painted a picture, right, from the people previous to me in this world, right? They've gone ahead and they've come and they've said, this is what God is, and you will deal with it in that way. Right? This is your God. Have fun. And I'm like, well, this God, it's like, doesn't make sense, right? It's, you know, we've got the punishing God. I guess the punishing God is the biggest problem, right? But, you know, this relationship with God and what we're supposed to do with it, right? And how we're supposed to behave and what happens to us if we don't. Very strange, right? Very man-made. It's a crazy story. What I've gathered in my relationship with this program and trying to balance that self and humility, I'm learning that God, to me, is completely different than what I was told. The God that I was told about isn't the God that is in my life today. It's my version, right? It's my version. And I love it. Right, I love that I can have a relationship with a higher power. I love that I can have a relationship with God, and it doesn't have to be like other people's, and it doesn't have to feel like other people's relationships, right? I don't have to feel bad if I'm not perfect, right? I love how this program is, and I forget the term, but basically just keep trying. What is it called? Progress over perfection, right? That's it. That's my relationship with God today. That's my relationship with this program. Progress over perfection. That means just keep coming. Keep trying. Keep working at it. Keep working at it. If you keep working on it, that's a relationship with the higher power. That's you holding the hand of God, right? That's you working it. But as soon as you let go, right, as soon as your meetings stop, as soon as you're reaching out to your sponsor stops, that's just letting go of the hand of God. Maybe that's as simple as it is, right? Maybe that's the God. For me, that's the God that is in my life, right? I'm either thinking positive, I'm either thinking a life of good, I'm either living a life of good and I'm holding the life of good, or I'm not. But if I am, I'm more likely to have a life of good. If I am not, if I let go, I tend to start changing my thinking, right? We start the past step, the step three, turned our will, our thinking, and our lives, actions over the care of a higher power. All that says is, take my hand, man. Take my hand. You know, somebody said last night that they replaced a higher power with their sponsor, right? I did too. You know, when my buddy Matt was alive and he was my sponsor, he was my higher power. And I don't mean that he was a god, right? He didn't raise the dead. He didn't save life. Well, he did. He saved my life. He did. I wish he was still here. I'd tell him right now, you fucker, you saved my life, man. I appreciate you. But the reality is that, you know, I liked how he lived, right? I liked what he thought. And I wanted to be like him, right? And he lived a good life. Listen, Matt wasn't perfect either. Progress over perfection, but he was doing the right thing and he inspired me, right? And I don't want to say I was holding the hand of Matt, but I was definitely walking by his side, man. And I shared in stories, you know, driving over to his house, all slouched down in the car. And as soon as I picked him up in the seat, 10 and 2, windows up, music down. This is my life, Matt. What do you think, right? This is how I'm living. And then when I drop him off, I'd revert back to my old behavior. Just wasn't quite ready yet, right? Progress over perfection. And then slowly, eventually, I would drive over. I would pick him up at 10 and 2, right? I'd pick him up with my hands in the right position with my seatbelt on. I started getting better. A lot of it's habit, I think, for me. You know, I wasn't born a bad guy, right? It's just bad habits. Bad habits. My alcoholism, the badge of alcoholism, get stuck on problems that have been around a lot longer than alcohol, right? These are from the Bible, these issues, the deadly sins, right? These are my issues. If I drink alcohol, though, for some reason, I can't stop. Like it's like sort of like Almond Joys. I struggle with Almond Joys. We cannot have Almond Joys. My wife and I said no more Almond Joys in the house because I'll eat a freaking handle of them, right? I cannot stop. I just get that sugar going and bam, it's on. And I can eat a pack of 10, not full candy bars, little mini ones, but 10 of them. That's ridiculous. That's gluttonous and it's embarrassing, right? I can't stop. Once I eat one, I can't stop. I'll literally eat them in the middle of the night while I'm sleeping. I'll be sitting there with my eyes shut chewing a freaking Almond Joy. And I'm not even hungry, right? There is something that happens on certain things, alcohol and drugs being one of them. I can't stop. Right? I just can't stop. Don't need to question it. That's fine. We'll call it alcoholism. But as long as I don't put alcohol in my mouth, I don't have to deal with that exact problem. The only problem that I have to deal with now lies between my ears, right? And this balance between the devil and Jesus. Or no, not Jesus. Excuse me, God. Jesus or whatever. You know what I'm saying? The devil's on my shoulder and the angel on my shoulder. All right, let me read this. What am I doing? Let me read the daily reflections, and I got to go to work. All right, let's see. Oh, man, I've been doing this paddling. Ooh, I started watching some Outrigger paddling competitions in Hawaii. These dudes are badasses. All of a sudden yesterday, last night when I watched these videos, I'm like, you're going to be a badass, right? Here comes ego. Here comes pride. Has nothing to do with alcohol, right? Yeah, whatever. All right. Spiritual health. Ooh, nice. May 23rd. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. What? When you take the hand of God, right? When you hold the hand of God, I love that. It is very difficult. Oh, so that was Alcoholics Anonymous, page 64. It is very difficult for me to come to terms with my spiritual illness because of my great pride. Disguised by my material success and my intellectual power, intelligence is not incompatible with humility, provided I place humility first. To seek prestige and wealth is the ultimate goal for many of the modern world. To be fashionable and to seem better than I really am is a spiritual illness. Yes. Yes, yes. I struggle with that still, right? You know, if people... I do not dress very well. It was funny. I had my buddy Drexel on the podcast yesterday, and I initially worked for Drexel at his salon, Bad Hair Day. And Drexel was very, you know, you had to wear all black, right? You had to look perfect, right? You had to put off a vibe, right? And I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And he's like, you should go work somewhere else, man, where you can wear something like you're going to Gordon's Pond, right? Passive aggressive, kind of hurtful, but... that was him at the time. He's changed his ways. He's getting a little better. But, yeah. In certain ways, I make no effort, and in other ways, I make a lot of effort. So I definitely can get that. To recognize and to admit my weakness is the beginning of good spiritual health. It is a sign of spiritual health to be able to ask God every day to enlighten me, to recognize his will, and to have the strength to execute it. My spiritual health is excellent when I realize that better I get, the more I discover how much help I need from others. Yes, it's awesome. All right, well, listen, I appreciate everybody's listening. Hope you have a great day. Hang in there. If you have an anniversary coming up and you want me to give you a shout-out on this podcast, you can always give me a shout-out through the Instagram at I'm Sorry About Last Night. All right? Have a great day. Later. Said nothing but the best for the gold.